You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume. Your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne, c'est le fini. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs. John, you found the dogs. He found the dogs.
And all together, they worked the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Thursday night. It is May 18 with one eye on the screen because the puck is about to drop for period number three, and the Florida Panthers have a 2-1 lead after two periods of play versus the Carolina Hurricanes. And 18 to 17 are the shots for the Florida Panthers. Shot attempts are 38 apiece. This is almost as evenly matched as you can get, maybe to the surprise of many. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I don't think any of us should, right? Even though most of us probably predicted Carolina to win this series. And of course, you know, this series is very, very early. I mean, we don't even have a winner tonight. But if you thought that Florida was going to get blown out of the water here, the Florida Panthers can play with the Carolina Hurricanes, folks. The Florida Panthers can play with the Carolina Hurricanes. They didn't beat the Boston Bruins by fluke, and they didn't beat the Toronto Maple Leafs by fluke, and they're playing with Carolina. And what's interesting about this series, there's many things, actually. One is that, you know, Paul Maurice is going up against his former team, and he's going up against another coach that he actually used to coach when he was a player in Rod Brind'Amour. So it's, you know, the professor versus the student, and we're going to see who comes out on top. And we've seen these professor versus student battles before. And as a matter of fact, once upon a time, Jacques Lemaire, who was the student, actually beat Professor Scotty Bowman. And Scotty Bowman is, you know, arguably the greatest hockey coach of all time. And sometimes the student comes out on top, and sometimes the professor doesn't actually show all of his tricks, and experience kicks in, and we'll see what happens. Both good guys, Paul Maurice and Rod Brind'Amour. So for me, whoever wins this series, I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with it. Dallas versus Vegas. You know, I kind of want to see, once again, I don't have a problem with who wins because Vegas, you know, they've gone pretty far in the playoffs since they actually broke into the league, and it would be nice to see if they can they can pull it off. At the same time, I've had Adeline Nasreddin, the assistant coach of the Dallas Stars, on the Sick Podcast before. I had a couple of conversations with him, and, you know, I'd like to see a guy like that win. And you take a look at the career that the old Carolina thought they had it, by the way, and it just got by Bobrovsky, but, you know, it just sat there. There's no way it crossed the line, so actually far from it. But Carolina had a couple of players that actually raised their sticks in the air thinking that they were going to pull it off there and score, but no, it's not meant to be for the Carolina Hurricanes. Says Jarvis, by the way, scored on an absolute rocket. I know that Paul Maurice, this is the second time, by the way, that I see Paul Maurice just become livid and his team give a great response. The first time, and it's happened many times, but off the top of my head, one time when it happened was on the 29th of March. That's the day that Keith Tkachuk went on our buddy Carlo Koliakou's show out of Toronto and basically called out the Florida Panthers for not being overly competitive, not being, you know, overly tough or overly physical. And they were playing Toronto that night, and there was a goal that Toronto had scored but was called off. And Maurice just went nuts. He went nuts. His team ended up winning that hockey game 3-2 in overtime on a goal by Brandon Montour, if memory serves me well. And tonight, he was not very happy with nor his team nor the officials, because the officials put the Carolina Hurricanes on a 5-on-3 power play for, I think it was, I don't know if it was 72 or 82 seconds. I tried to make a mental note of it, but, you know, once you get older, those numbers that you remember like this, sometimes you, you know, they confuse you a little bit. But anyway, and so he just, he was really unhappy and he let it show. And then, you know, for period number two, his team comes out and this is a good hockey game. The pace is fast. It's back and forth. And this is a better hockey game than I think we saw between, I mean, Toronto and Florida had a couple of good hockey games, but for a series that went, you know, the amount of time that it went, I don't think we saw that many. I think we saw more bad games than we saw good games. The second round in particular, I wasn't crazy about it. I didn't like it all that much, but anyway. George Larac. Okay. We are waiting for you. I just texted him. We are waiting for you, right? He's a regular contributor on Thursday nights, and he's been traveling so much as of late. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he was in Edmonton, and he was, well, he's been everywhere. But I remember that he was in Edmonton when he was supposed to join us. There's a little bit of a time change, of course. And today he's in Vegas. And if you're thinking that he's in Vegas to watch the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars, think again, because he's not there. He's not there. The Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by La Bitta TV right here. You see them? Uh-huh. There we go. There we go. La Bitta TV, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. They offer quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bitta TV, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. They've been named by the Financial Times as one of America's fastest growing companies in 2023. They've been recognized by the Globe and Mail as a top growing Canadian company for 2 years in a row now. They work with some of the biggest Fortune 500 companies providing end-to-end logistics services. Join a winning team. They win the Stanley Cup every year, these guys. And check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. It's a great place to work with a young, dynamic staff. And also brought to you in part by XL Moto, the premier motorcycle and scooter dealership in Montreal for over 20 years. Their dealership carries 7 different motorcycle and scooter brands. They are the number one Aprilia and Piaggio ambassadors for the last 5 years, in terms of the entire Piaggio group, by the way, which is Aprilia, Piaggio, and Vespa scooters. And they're number one ahead of a dealership in Miami. XL Moto, your ultimate destination and best customer service experience. You check out xlmoto.com. They're at 5480 Pare. You'll find the number to call. And give Vito Di Cosola a call. He's waiting for your call. And they got a promotion right now. They'll give you a helmet on the purchase of a Vespa scooter. They'll call them for all the details. Check out xlmoto.com once again for the phone number. All right. Okay. As we wait for George Larac, that'll give me plenty of time to actually give you a somewhat of a play-by-play about what's going on here. I can do that. I can do that. I'll take a look at the YouTube chat. And if Montreal can get a right-handed defenseman, says Shu, a center and a goalie throughout the next draft, it's a win. Well, yes and no, because if that's what you want, it's because that's what you've determined as needs, which is fair. But you know what they say when you draft by need over position, over best player. I'm a little bit rattled because Carolina just scored a tic-tac-toe goal to tie this game up at 2. that was just a thing of beauty. It's absolutely out of this world. They look like, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters passing around that basketball. It was fantastic. Wow. Hey, you can feel the crowd in Carolina. I don't even have the volume on. I see the white towels and stuff like that. And all right, some good board work and back to the point. And someone cut out of position there for Florida. It ended up leading to a 3-on-2. They battle. Ended up leading to a 3-on-2. And it went from left to center to right. Right-handed shot up and over Bobrovsky. Wow. What a goal. That's a beautiful goal. Jarvis and Neshkash get the assists, and it looks like if it's Stefan Nysén who got the goal. Power play goal, by the way. So Florida tried to get it out, and they couldn't get it out, and that's what happens. Wow. Just like that now, the shots are 25-19 for Carolina. I think when the third period started, I think Florida was up by a shot or whatever it was. Eric DiOrio, congrats, Tony, for losing the weight. Thank you very much, Eric. We'll find out tomorrow exactly how much I lost because I'm going to be in studio with Jean-Charles Lajoie. It was back on March 27th that Jean-Charles said, you know, I think we were talking to each other about our weight or we wanted to challenge each other. I don't know how it came about, the entire conversation. As most of you know by now, I'm a regular collaborator on BPM Spa 91.9 on your FM dial out of Montreal. And Jean-Charles hosts the morning show from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. He also hosts a television show, GC, at TVA Sport, on TVA Sport, Monday to Friday between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. And I'm a regular collaborator on that one as well, Monday to Thursdays in this case, usually at around 5:30. Anyway, we ended up challenging each other. And I said to Jean-Charles, I said, how much do you commit to lose? And he said he committed to lose 21 pounds. He asked me how many pounds I committed to lose. And I said I committed to lose 25 pounds. And we gave ourselves 60 days to do it. But seeing as Monday is a holiday and, you know, we got some text messages from some of our listeners, we decided to actually go on the scale tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to go on the scale. I believe tomorrow will be probably day 57 or day 58. And we'll see what the scale says. My scale in my house looks pretty good. But when you transport a scale from one house to another establishment and then you get off your floor and then put it on another floor and then maybe it's not even, who knows what the scale will say tomorrow. But yeah, some weight has come off for sure. And so tomorrow I'm sure we'll take some pictures. And says Enforcer low carb diet. Yeah, a little bit of that, but you know, I'll give it all the details tomorrow, but I joined the weight loss program out of Toronto called the Apex 31, and it really gave me a shot in the arm. It really gave me a real good kick. And so, you know, if you want to join the program, you want to get a hold of me, I could tell you a little bit about the program. Even give you a promo code so you can save some money when signing up. So if you want to do that, just you can send me an email, tony@thesickpodcast.com. If you don't have social media, and if you do have social media, you can just get a hold of me on Instagram, DM, or LinkedIn, or Facebook, or whatever you want to choose. I'll get back to you. Nick Bobrov is the key for Montreal to draft Michkov. Yes and no. Yes and no, because yes, Nick Bobrov has ties with Michkov's team in the KHL. But let's not forget, Kent Hughes knows this draft class like the back of his hand. He knows the 04s and the 05s like the back of his hand. And this is big time information, by the way. So he coached these age groups. All right. He coached these age groups. And so this is why he knows them really, really well. So I'm going to tell you something. I have two boys, as you know. One is an 03, one is an 05. If I was part of a club and I was the general manager, the sporting director, the technical director, whatever, and there was a draft, and I was in that, you know, I have scouts and stuff like that. But if it would be the 03 and or the 05 draft class, I'd be confident that I can draft better players over anybody else in the city, in the province. The country's a stretch, but because I don't get all that much to watch games, but, and I would imagine that Kent Hughes feels that way. You know, George Larac, as a matter of fact, he coached some kids as well. And George, I don't know which draft class, which age category. I think they're the 07s that George is very, very familiar with, but I could be wrong. And George knows like the 07s, like the back of his hand. I think it's the 07s. And I'm sure he'll tell you that if he was drafting and if it was a draft class for the 07s, he would feel comfortable that he knows some of those players better than anybody else. So is Nick Bobrov the key to drafting Michkov? Yeah, he could be the key to drafting Michkov. But as much as he might go to bat for Michkov with the information he has, Kent Hughes might go to bat for the information that he has as well. Now, usually the director of amateur scouting wins. I get that too. We have our guy. Let's go to him right now. George Larac, what's going on?
What's going on, Tony?
Here, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Why don't you put the camera sideways?
Okay. There you go.
Are you driving?
No. I'm at the rink.
Yeah.
In Vegas. My son, he's in a hockey tournament. He's playing 40 minutes. It's 3 hours behind right now. So that's why I'm there right now. And it's awesome.
Okay, he's playing in 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so how long will it take you to get from the car into the arena?
It'll take me 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay, yeah. So today we're 38 minutes, bro, or what?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, okay.
Yeah.
So he's, okay, so what time is it now in Vegas? 3 hours behind. Is it 7:16?
Yes.
Okay, so at 8 o'clock?
Quarter to. Half hour.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No, but I'm saying right now it's 7:17 p.m. in Vegas, correct?
Yes, we have till 7:45.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm that's not what I'm asking you. I'm wondering what time does this game start? Starts at around 8 o'clock?
No, 7:50.
Wow, 7:50. It really is a tournament here.
Yeah, it is. So they're right on time.
George, it seems like every time I've talked to you in the last 2 months, I don't find you at home anymore.
No, you're right. Tony, next week I got to be in Edmonton. After that, I got to be in Moncton for another charity thing. After Moncton, I gotta go to Israel. David's kids is getting married. After that, I'm going to...
Hold on a second. For those who don't know, David Etegi, who's a former player agent. I think he was your agent, was he not?
Yes, he was. And he was the agent of Gallagher and Carey Price for 10 years with the Sport Corporation.
With the Sports Corporation, officially, I think it was Jerry Johansson who was Carey Price's agent, but they worked for the same company, right?
Yeah, that's right. He took care of Price and Gallagher. Johansson took care of the contract. David took care of, when they need a car, like side deals and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
what
he did.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So I'm going, his son is getting married. I'm going to Israel. I'm going to Nashville for the NHL, for the draft, because I'm talking to the rookies, guys that get drafted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That's my job, Tony. I'm also with the NHL. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know you're with the NHL, but I didn't know that that was part of your responsibilities.
Yes, yes. All the diversity, inclusion, coalition, like talk that we have with all the rookies.
Fantastic.
And stuff. So,
fantastic.
Yes, I'll be traveling a lot in the next 2 months, bro.
Yeah, okay. Listen, can I come with you?
And a lot of different pillows.
Can I come with you to Nashville?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Yeah, so when you're talking to the rookies, can you get me in there? We're gonna podcast live from there.
No, that is impossible.
No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
No.
All right,
no,
okay.
Sorry.
No, but listen. All this travel. So, where have you been traveling in the last month? Where have you been in the last month? Edmonton,
Vancouver, Toronto, Moncton. No, Halifax.
You were in Ottawa for the hockey, for the homeless tournament?
Yeah, Ottawa too, yeah. Tony, every week there was somewhere, every week.
Wow. And you're doing this, some for the NHL and some for charity events?
Yes, some for charity events, some in the NHL, some see my kid. Like my kid has a hockey tournament in Vegas, right? So
yeah.
I have to go. So I'm there watching his game, and two games today, two games tomorrow. Crazy schedule, man.
Hey, I know it doesn't take much to impress you because obviously you played in the National Hockey League and you play with the greats. But I'd be willing to bet that watching your son play hockey is some greater moments than you had playing in the National Hockey League.
Oh, Tony. It's the best. It beats all the 13 years I played in the NHL. Forget it. He wears my number. He's so proud. And kids today, they're so skilled. He's way better than I was when I was 14 years old. And that's
really
awesome.
Eh? What draft year is he? What age? What birth year is he?
He's 09. He's 09. He's born March 30th, 09, 2009.
You know, someone sent out a on the YouTube chat before. It's 2-2, by the way, between Carolina and the Florida Panthers with about 9 minutes to go in period number three. Someone put on the chat before that that Nick Bobrov is the key towards to drafting Michkov, right? He's the key. And I said, yeah, it could be because he's the director of amateur scouting and he's got ties with the Michkov's team in Russia and his dad actually works for them as well. But I said, you know, Kent Hughes could also be a key for the Canadians drafting another player instead, because Kent Hughes coached the 04 and the 05 draft class, and he knows it like the back of his hand. Like, he's very, very comfortable with that draft class. And I said, you know, my boys, one was 03, one was 05. If you would ask me to scout soccer players from that draft year, from that birth year, I would feel so comfortable because I know them like the back of my hand. And I was mentioning, you coach some kids, do you not?
Yes, I do. I do.
The 07s are?
07, 08, 09. It's in the summer, what I did, because my son, when he comes in the summer, right?
Yeah.
Daddy is no longer cool to do one-on-one ice session with him, practicing on stuff. So what I do now is I rent the rink in Brossard for 1 month, and I invite all the, like, 07, 09, 08 kids that come skate. We do games. I'm refereeing, and it's free. I give the ice is for everyone for free. So as you can imagine.
George, you're amazing, man. George, you're amazing, bro. I'm not just saying
I'm not even going to tell you what the bill is for a month when rent the ice at Bell Center. But you know what? It's this kid. They pay so much money for organized hockey. So, you know, they give a break to the parents. The kids get to play some hockey game. I go on. I'm the referee. And my son is happy. My daughter is playing too. And they're having fun. We're playing games every day, and it's awesome.
You know, George, everyone talks about how big you are. I actually think you're as big as you are because your heart is that big, so your body just had to keep up. But it's an amazing thing what you do, George. Honestly, I'm really happy to call you a friend of mine. When I hear stories like this, it really touches my heart, you know. And I would imagine that renting the ice at the Bell Center is... Yeah, and we're back.
Yes. Yeah, but we're back.
Nothing happened with me. Something happened with you. My internet is absolutely fantastic. I can tell you that.
Sorry.
I brought in my boy Terry Cutler of Psyology Labs, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I said, Terry, I want you to take a look at my internet. I wanted you to take a look at my wiring. He fixed me up like I've never been fixed up before. All right, so
that's
shout
awesome.
Out to Terry. Hello, Terry. No, George, I was saying you got a heart of gold, man. And I'm really, really proud to call you a friend of mine, because that story that you just said, renting the ice, and you do so much more than that, by the way, but renting the ice for the kids, that really touched me. And you know what? You talk about getting the kids on the ice. Speaking of which, there's a couple of Haitian kids in the city. I don't quite know all their names, because I actually follow some of their dads on Facebook and they post videos of their kids. Maybe you can enlighten me. But George, there's a couple of Haitians, 07s, 08s, 09s that are unbelievable, eh?
Yes, there are. And there's so many of them. I don't want to name them all because I don't want to do prejudice to not forget some of them.
But the one I follow, the one who I think I know the dad, well, just because we're Facebook friends, I think it's Edouard.
Yeah, Patrice Edouard. Zachary, that's one of the kids that is very good. But there's many other kids also that are good.
Yeah.
The 09, I think in 07, 08, 09, there'll be some of the players that will be NHL players for sure. Some of these players are incredible athletes. It's awesome to see. And it all started with Mathias Brunet. He did Les Princes. He did a team that was primarily just black kids that were in it. They won every game. It was incredible.
Brunet started
it. Yeah, they were called Les Princes, and he coached them for a couple of years. It was incredible. And a minority team that was slaughtering all the teams they were playing across. So it was awesome. So now it's awesome to see that the game is open up to more and more minorities, and to see some of them having success, because it's going to encourage other minorities to play hockey and having fun.
Yeah, Mathias too is a very good dad, and both his boys are in sports, and he follows them everywhere they go and watches all their games. I see him often in stadiums. All right, okay. Yeah. I'm glad you're on tonight, because I don't know if you caught this. Did you hear about Vincent Desharnais of the Edmonton Oilers talking to Mario Langlois of 98.5 FM? Did you hear what he had to say?
What did he say?
Okay, so of course we all recall that was Arber Jacki's last fight, right? Because he got hurt in the fight. I don't have the entire quote, but I do know this, because I didn't get all of it. He said he received death threats.
Oh, from Montreal Canadian fans?
Well, I would imagine. I mean, I would imagine it's not fans of the Boston Bruins that are giving ever happened? Did that ever happen to you, to receive death threats because you may be hurt intentionally or unintentionally, a player on another team in a fight?
No, but let's say that me and PK, we got a death threat because of our colors. So that's a different subject. So we don't have
to go there. That's not a different subject. Hold on. Oh, stop. You're not going to do that to me on this podcast. You got death threats because you're black?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Tony,
you know how many people in Montreal don't accept that a black guy plays for the Canadiens? You know how many PK got? Oh my God, Tony! Like, you know, like a rich history team like the Montreal Canadiens, there is some fans that don't want to see a black man on that jersey. That's a fact. And you know how people are free to send letters? You know, it goes through the team. The teams, like, before they get to us, you know, they screen them. And yeah, there is a lot of hated mail. For sure, Tony.
So hold on a second. So people would send letters to the Bell Center. Your letters were open before they got to you. Yes. And they would tell you about them, or?
No, because, Tony, I knew I would ask. I knew about it. Like, they screened them, but, Tony, I know it works. I know the system. You know, I know what it is. Like, even on my social media, every week I got to block people that are calling me the N-word. People that are tough enough to do it online, but not in my face. But Tony, with the letters, the same thing. I just knew, you know,
they would ask you Tony, for a selfie and an autograph.
Tony, when I signed with the Montreal Canadiens, it was a record number of jerseys that were sold. At the same time, they were getting hated mail because some people were not happy that I signed that they signed me. Right? It's the nature of sport. You know, in Montreal, it's sacred. Some people don't like it. And PK, the fact that he was making $10 million a year with a Canadian, a lot of people were jealous and racist, didn't like the fact that a black man was making $10 million a year with the Montreal Canadian. And that's a fact, whether people like it or not. You know, you want to talk about the real thing in the Sick podcast? Well, this is a real thing. This is reality. That's all we have to deal with. It's fine. It didn't prevent PK from knowing the Norris, being an amazing defenseman, and it didn't prevent me to do my job.
All right. So people hating on PK, I mean, we've seen it through on social media. I've seen it before. We're going to see it again. Someone to go out and to actually issue death threats because, you know, a black player plays for the hockey team that you support. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because it's
Don't be surprised. I could go on and on, but I don't want to give a power to people that are negative. So I told you one part of it, but it's much more than that. But let's just stop there.
All right. Let's stop there. Seeing as we're on the topic of either guys from Quebec or Montreal Canadiens or former Canadiens, from PK to Patrick Roy, his Rampart lead 3-1 the Halifax Mooseheads. And everyone's wondering if Patrick's next game is going to be his last game in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Where do you stand on this? I mean, do you see Patrick Roy coaching in the National Hockey League? And if you were playing, would you want a coach like him? Yes or no, and why?
Well, I think everybody deserves a second chance. We all know what happened. Patrick Roy, 1 week before training camp, he dropped Joe Sakic's team. You don't do that. A week before training camp, because they didn't sign the player that he wanted. And Joe Sakic, a love guy, everybody in the NHL loves him. You don't do that. Once he gassed Joe Sakic, his reputation was done in the NHL. But you know what he did? He has passion for coaching. A lot of respect for him going back in junior, coaching the Rampart, all the bus ride and everything that he's doing. He's showing that he has passion for coaching and he has passion for winning. He does a hell of a job there and he deserves a second chance in the NHL. He will have a second chance. I would not be surprised if this year he would find a team in the NHL. You know, he's a passionate man. He deserves a second chance. You know the mistake that he's done, and it's okay. You know, everybody deserves second chance. A lot of people made mistakes in the NHL. They're back behind the bench or they're back on the ice. Patrick certainly deserves a second chance, and he brings emotion, you know, to a team. A lot of respect because what he's done in his career. Everybody respect Martin Saint-Louis for what he's done. Hall of Famer. An Hall of Famer like Patrick Roy behind the bench. Know what he's talking about. He knows coaching. And I think one day we'll see him behind the bench.
Listen, his first 8 years as a coach with the Rampart and junior hockey. And then from there, and by the way, he made the playoffs like every year. And then he went to coach 3 years in the National Hockey League. His first year with Colorado was absolutely fantastic. He won the coach of the year. And then the next 2 years after that, they missed the playoffs. And then, you know, he's back for another 3 years coaching in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And now it looks like his team is on the verge of winning it all. Look, I never thought that Patrick Roy was going to get back in the National Hockey League because of the reputation that he had. That Yamen Lash, right? He carries a lot of weight, right? And he wants to be, you know what we were told, or the picture that was painted was that he wants to be the coach, he wants to be the GM, he wants to be the assistant GM, he wants to be the usher.
That was back then, but now he knows. You're right. Now he's crossing his finger just to get his head in the door. You know, he knows he won't get all that. He knows if he's behind the bench, it's going to be his chance. He's not going to blow it. After what happened, you know, leash is going to be the leash is going to be short. Everybody's going to be watching. Are they going to say, we knew that was not going to work? Oh, he really changed. Oh, he was a great asset to our team. Oh, that's the guy that we needed. I think the second option is mostly what we'll see because he'll be so happy back in here. Because Tony, come on. There's no way this man, this Hall of Famer, wants to coach junior all his career. No. He wants to be in the show. He wants to be behind the bench. That's what he deserves. He wants the Norris, man. No, not the Norris. The Jack Adams, sorry.
He
won it. So when you want the Jack Adams, you want to go back to junior with that experience that you've done. You want to be back in the show. That's where he should be.
George, I think you're cutting out. I think we lost you for a second here. Maybe all that moving that you were doing, you made your mic go flying somewhere, and now you're boot. I don't know.
I'm back.
Okay, you're back. I'm back. Listen. I'm gonna tell you something. As I mentioned before, like I never thought that he was going to coach in the National Hockey League again, but based on the coaching that he's done this year, and based on the amount of time, and they say that time heals all wounds, and you talked about, you know, everyone deserves a second chance, and Patrick Roy does too.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think now for the first time, like even when his name came up in rumor speculation over the last year or two, I never felt it. I never believed it. When his name was associated with the Montreal Canadiens, I thought that there was zero chance that that would happen. And I think I was right about that. But now I'm starting to think that there's a window of opportunity. I'm starting to think there's a chance. I'm starting to think you could pull it off. The question is, you're going to need a general manager that's going to have some really, really thick skin, George, right? Because it's easy to be scared or off from Patrick Roy, because you look at him and based on what you heard, you're probably thinking at one point in a moment of adversity, this guy might stick it to me, or, you know, and then he's probably going to try and take my job, because, you know, we know that Patrick can do both.
Tony,
he can be a coach.
Tony, you know what they're going to do, Tony? What they're going to do to prevent that, they're going to start with a 1 or 2 year. Patrick will take whatever he could have. They're not going to give him a 3 or 5 years. No, they're going to want to see first. So 1 or 2 years max to see what they're going to have.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Did we did we lose him again or what? Is he cutting out again? I know it's not me. I know it's not me. I had my buddy Terry Culler fix me up.
Come back. So, Tony, 1 or 2 years to start with to see what you're going to get. If it doesn't work, you fire him. You don't give him a 5 years, so you have to get rid of him paying for another 4 years. So they'll start 1 or 2 years to see what they have in their hands, and I think it's going to work out.
Does it bother you if, so out of all the places that we're hearing, and maybe even not hearing, where do you think Patrick Roy would be the best fit coaching in the National Hockey League? Where?
In Montreal.
Wow.
Patrick Roy is a legend.
When
Martin Brodeur went to the Blues, it was weird. He deserved to be with the Devils, and he went back. He's where he belonged. Patrick Roy belonged to be with the Montreal Canadiens. He's one of the biggest ambassadors. We lost Guy Lafleur. Patrick Roy should be there. We should have find him a role, so he should be with the team. You know, now the relationship was fixed between him and the team. He belongs to be with the Canadiens.
Yeah, but what role?
I'm not saying head coach. Mathieu Saint-Louis is the head coach. Why not behind the bench with him? Assistant coach with him. You know, with the experience that he has. Why don't you have him there? You know, George, great that would be having those two guys behind the bench.
No, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Patrick Roy working alongside Marty Saint-Louis, I don't see it at all.
Well, if it's not coaching, put him in a management, put him somewhere. That guy deserves to be a Montreal Canadian for life, even if it's not behind the bench. It'll be weird to see him. Whether it's Ottawa, is going to be weird. The Rangers is going to be weird. Man, he deserves. He's a Montreal Canadian for life.
I understand, he's a Montreal Canadian. Listen, I get that. He's a legend in the city. Yes, 100%. He won a couple of Stanley Cups here. He won the Conn Smythe, both cups they won. George, I get all of this, but, man, you just threw one out today at Patrick Roy, assistant to Martin Saint-Louis. You just floored me on this one. It's oil and water, George.
Yeah, but you say that. That's in the past.
They see the game a different way. They talk the game a different way. They coach the game a different way. Patrick Roy has become a very good communicator over the past couple of years. I'll give him that, in that I think that he can really communicate well. Their temperament is a different temperament. Now, maybe they say that maybe opposites to coaching staff might be good. But
maybe you find him a job with the team, and eventually when Martin Saint-Louis is done as a coach, because every coach is there to get fired eventually, Patrick can replace him.
Would you want him to go to Laval? Would you want him to go to Laval?
That's not bad. That's a good idea. But actually, the guy in Laval, Will, is doing a good job, so you can't really push him. You can't really push him aside. So,
well, a minute ago, you almost pushed Marty Saint-Louis aside.
No, I didn't. I said
almost. I said almost.
They'll never. I said come in with it, but you said two. Those two stuff would work together.
We're trying to get views over here. I'm trying to be dramatic. You know what I mean? I'm trying to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, but Tony, give him a role with the Canadiens. Eventually, San Luis gone. Give him the job.
Hey, I got to show you something. Because I know you're hard on me every now and then, but I know you're hard because you love me.
Oh my God, that is amazing. You could finally see it when you go pee, Tony. Wow, that's incredible. How good is it to see it when you go pee now?
Hey, stop with these jokes. Stop with these jokes. Stop with these jokes. By the way, I was going to say something. All right. Okay.
Say it.
No. No.
Why?
No, I was going to say the urinals, they're cold now. The water's cold.
Tony, you've never touched the water. Are you kidding me? My God.
Hey, I said that to a buddy of mine called me yesterday, and he gave me the same joke. He says, you could probably see it now. And I said, yeah, but I said, the water is cold in the urinals. And he says, Tony, you're supposed to pee in them, not drink it. Drink the water from the urinals. Yeah, anyway, listen. Tony,
I'm one of the only guys that could tie a knot when I have to go pee.
Okay, stop. Listen to me. Samuel Montembeau. We're talking about Patrick Roy. I think it's fitting we talk about Samuel Montembeau, who has had a really good year with the Canadiens. He went to the Worlds. Like, would you have thought that Samuel Montembeau was going to represent Canada at the World Hockey Championships?
I'll say yes because nobody wants to go to the World. The World is known for North American as a loser championship, as a players that didn't make the playoff that go there. Most guy don't want, the premier guy don't want to go there. Who wants to go?
So you would get
there?
Invited to the world. You wouldn't want to go?
Tony, come on, man. If I was invited, that's different. I think that they're on crack and I'd come as fast as I can before they change their mind. Are you kidding me? Of course I would go, but it's a different thing for me. Boy, I'd go anywhere if someone wants me.
You would do what as fast as you can?
I would go get there as fast as I can before.
Oh, you would get there as fast as you can. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Before they realize they made a mistake, call me in, and then I'd be there. It'd be too late to send me back home.
I misunderstood. I misunderstood. I mean, I know that you would have been excited by getting the invitation, but I didn't think you were going to be as excited as you just described, like about a minute or two ago. Like now I was whoa, what a terrible visual. All right. The Coyote situation. Since I have you here, how do you feel about it?
Well, I played with them before, and I could tell you that the Coyote has never been, you know, a hockey market. Geographically, with TV rights, that's why they have to stay there. The NHL needed to open up there, and they did. And that's why they stayed there, was strategic. And now it came to the point where they're no longer viable. There's even like the city, the people that live there talked and they said they don't even want them. So if your own fans don't want you, then you have no business being there. This team is going to move probably to Houston. That's what we're all hearing. Daly said
they should move to Houston. I mean, I'd love to see a team in Quebec, but I understand.
No, forget Quebec is dead. It's never going to happen. I think it's going to move to Houston. Daly said he doesn't envisage, he couldn't imagine the fact that they wouldn't play in Phoenix next year, maybe because Houston is too fast. Maybe one more year in that 4,500, like, stadium rink, whatever we want to call it, and eventually move to Houston.
Mullet Arena. Hold on a second. Why will Quebec never happen? Why?
Because it's too expensive now. They can't afford it. The year that Quebec wanted to do it, the money was par, the U.S. and the Canadian money. Now it's no longer the case. It's too expensive. It's going to be close to a billion U.S. plus American Hockey League that you have to buy on top of that. It's too complicated. And now with the CF, they say they had to buy antenna and all the things that they had to do. And now it looks like TVA Spar is in trouble and all the money they've lost. The TV rights not been viable for them. Because of all that, Tony, you want to have an NHL team on top of that? I don't think they could afford it down anymore. So it's dead in the water and it's over.
Well, I think they can, but I'll say this. I think it's very unfortunate that there isn't a team in Quebec. And I know we're talking about
it. It is unfortunate.
They have a great arena. They have passionate fan base. There's 18,000 going to watch the Rampart games. I mean, there's 18,000 going to watch the Rampart games.
What?
I
mean, $20 ticket, though. $20
yes, I completely understand that, because maybe that's the thing right there. Spending $20 on a ticket and spending $250 on a ticket, obviously, is a different story. So I can understand that.
And Tony, $20 for a ticket for happening. There's a lot of people that are going there that are not hockey fans, but the fans of happening. You know, it's just a happening in Quebec. It's like a big party, right? You go there, the atmosphere, you know the team is going to win. A lot of people go there. They're not all hockey fans, but you're around 18,000 people. You dress up, you go there. A lot of people, it's a party. It's fun atmosphere. It's awesome. So, yeah. And then, you know, I don't know everything, all the party that goes on in Quebec, but right now I don't think there's a hotter ticket than the Rempart.
Yeah. Did you see Clayton Keller? It looks like he wants out. Can we get that before we let George go here? Yeah.
Okay, first of all, it's not Clayton Keller. It's his dad that said that. Obviously, his dad talked about a conversation that he had with his son. So yes. It's not good. It's not good because his dad said whatever he heard from his son. Unwritten rule, you shut the fuck up. When I tried to talk to Keith Tkachuk a couple months ago, Keith Tkachuk said, George, I can't talk to you because Matthew Tkachuk gave me a gag order after I said what I said about the Panthers. So Clayton Keller probably did the same thing with his dad. But the thing is, now he has to face his teammate. He has to face the management about everything that he said. Everything he said is true. We know no player wants to play in Phoenix anymore. We know that.
But unless you like to play golf, publicly. Because the weather cooperates and there's some nice golf courses.
His dad put him in a tough situation, and he's a hell of a player.
But, maybe his dad helped him out. Maybe his dad's going to help get him out of Arizona. Anyway, listen, you probably didn't see this, but can we bring it up? Do we have it? Clayton Keller's agents on a Phoenix Sports podcast.
That's the biggest thing I think is the takeaway is, as you referenced, this has been uncertain for far too long. And now there is a real urgency on our client's behalf to have clarity. We need to have clarity. Again, Clayton, I'll just use him. He's in the prime of his career. He took a huge step this year. He's going to take another step next year. He deserves to be in an organization that has stability and that is pursuing the same thing that he is, which is excellence, right? And that is the real flashpoint for us. And that's a big reason we're meeting with the Coyotes folks here later today. That there needs to be some concrete plans, not hoping plans, not maybe plan this, you know, this has to come to a head here shortly. And I'm sure that other agents feel the same way for their clients.
George, before you say anything, when you talked about Clayton Keller's dad coming out and saying that it's his son's, you know, his son won't play in Arizona again.
Tony, it's a bad move that he did that. His agent should have never done that.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to get, but this is what I want to get to, right? The agents, it almost sounds, George, like there's a plan and for them executing the way out of Arizona is probably first the dad, now the agents.
And you know, the thing is with the salary cap and stuff, it's tough to, it's going to take time to trade a player like that. I'm sure a lot of teams are going to want him like team wanted Chychrun, but his agent didn't help him because he's in Phoenix. He has to live with this. He has to face his teammates. He has to face the crowd. He's one of the premier players on that team, and he does that. What if it takes a couple months into the season before you trade him? The reaction is going to be unlivable. It's insane. That's a rookie move that his agent did. Do it. Why you have to tell the world that? Do it behind closed door. Go see the team. Talk to them. Tony, it's wrong what he did.
George, go watch your son. Have fun. I wish him all the best.
Fala come.
Emozito, mo. George, stop. Okay, I got to go. Ciao.
Good.
All right, there you have it. George Larac is watching his son playing hockey in Vegas. Who can blame him? So this game is in overtime between Carolina and Florida. The overtime hasn't started yet. And maybe when it does, I'm probably going to let you go early here so that you can all go watch the overtime. Drouin and Gallagher for Keller. Someone obviously is being very, very sarcastic. That's sarcasm over humor because that's clearly not funny because there's no chance of that happening. They can replace Keller with Drouin, who will be a free agent, says Oreo. It seems like everyone's talking about the same thing. All right. He's no Lindros, says Kev. Let's bring up Clayton Keller's Hockey DB from Hockey Database. All right, let's keep it here for a second. All right, 24-year-old winger, right winger, shoots left, can play both wings, by the way. 5'10", about 180. And he went 7th overall in the 2016 draft. In his first full season in the National Hockey League, he had 65 points He took a step back over the next two or three seasons with 47 points, 44 points, and 35 points in 56 games. He was injured that year. And then a year ago, 63 points in 67 games, so almost a point-a-game player. And this past season, he passed the point-a-game, 86 points in 82 games. He's obviously on an upward swing. You get the feeling by looking at his numbers that a 100-point season is not out of the realm of possibility for Clayton Keller. You get the feeling that next season, you know what, if he would still be on that same team in that same environment, he'd get 90. But the challenge is sometimes when you get traded to another franchise, sometimes it takes a while for you to get used to the team, to get used to the system, to get used to the coach, to get used to your teammates, to get used to the conference, to get used to the division, to get used to the, all that stuff. So, but then again, some of you will probably say, you know what, a good hockey player is a good hockey player. And if he can do it in Arizona, he can do it somewhere else as well. No, I'm not even going to ask you what you would give for Clayton Keller, because I would imagine. Hold on, let's keep up his chart. Actually, I would imagine that some of you are going to say, no, the Montreal Canadiens already have a small player in Cole Caulfield, but that doesn't mean you can't have a second small player. Clayton Keller wants out. What would you give for Clayton Keller? I mean, look at those stats. Those are really good numbers. 86 points in 82 games. What would you give? Let's go to YouTube Live. Check out what everyone's saying. By the way, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you enjoyed George Larac, like it, share it with your friends. Message SICK, S-I-C-K, S-I-C-K. If you're going to listen to us on Google, Apple, or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review. It's our way of feeling the love. Once again, we're brought to you in part by Labit ATB, by Energy Transportation Group, and by XL Moto, xlmoto.com. Michkov can be a Keller, says Jean Maurice. Both are right-wingers shooting left. José Lévesque says, how many goals did he score? Let's bring it back up. 37 goals in 82 games. That's a lot of goals, José. This guy would be the second best goal scorer on the Montreal Canadiens. He'd be the second best goal scorer on the Montreal Canadiens. Behind Cole Caulfield, who, barring injury, should be a 40-plus goal scorer for the next 5 or 6 years. Florida's pick and a prospect for Keller. That's not going to get it done. Come on, folks. Florida's pick is like 29, 30, 31st, or 32. Who's the prospect? We're talking about a player who's going to be entering, if he's not in the prime of his career right now, will be entering the prime. We'll be in his prime years are going to be the next 4 years. He's 24. He turns 25 at the end of July. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. You would think a good 5 years of prime, you would think. Then again, there's some smaller players that end up getting hurt. And once they hit about 30, they start to break down a little bit. But he doesn't play that kind of game. He plays a very smart game. He doesn't play the type of game where you're going to get hurt and you're going to break down and all that stuff. And by the way, for those of you who are wondering as to how much he's getting paid, Clayton Keller still has many years left on his contract. As I take a look at Cap Friendly to find out all the details, his cap hit is $7.15 million. $7.15 million. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years left on his deal. And next season, 23-24, he can still be traded this offseason. And he can be traded next season before July 1st. And then in the 24-25 and 25-26 season. He's got a no-trade clause. And in the final two seasons of his contract, 26-27, 27-28, he has a no-movement clause. So there's something to think about. Look, folks, I can go on and on and on and answer all of your questions here, but I almost feel like I'll be doing a little bit of an injustice because this has been a great hockey game, and it's in overtime. So once again, special thanks to Energy Transportation Group, XLMoto.com, Labitta TV, Matrix. Let's give them a shout out as well. Discover a club-quality workout in the comfort of your own home. Visit matrixhomefitness.ca. I know I have the treadmill, and I've been doing a lot of walking on it. I know Agnello has the elliptical, and he's been doing a lot of what he's got to do on that elliptical. I got the rower as well. We're talking about just well-manufactured, very high-end equipment. Very high-end. As they say, Matrix. Strong, smart, beautiful. Just like me. For Agnello, go watch the game now. Carolina and Florida, they're a minute and a half into overtime. The score is tied at 2. For Agnello and Sammy at MasterCard. And by the way, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm hosting. Even though it's Fridays, I'm hosting tomorrow night. Same time, same place, 10 p.m. We'll break away 5 minutes earlier than usual because this game is worth it. For Agnello and Sammy and Master Control, they're Cavallaro and Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature.